Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a future jungle edit carve in Ableton Live 12, and this is one of those techniques that can instantly make your drum and bass tools feel more surgical, more DJ-friendly, and way more dangerous in a set. Future Jungle Lives on Contrast. It's not just about having a heavy loop, it's about knowing exactly when to remove the weight, when to leave a ghost of the groove behind, and when to slam everything back in so the return feels massive. That's what the carve is. It's that precision slice in the arrangement where you strip things back, create tension, and then reintroduce the full energy with more impact than before. So if your loops are sounding good but not yet sounding like proper tools for mixing and performance, this is where we fix that. The goal here is to build a 16-bar edit carve that works like a DJ intro, a breakdown, or a transition section. We want it to be clean, loopable, and phrase-aware. It should give the next tune room to breathe, but still keep the crowd locked in. And the big idea to keep in mind is this. Think in layers of density, not just volume. A carve works best when you reduce rhythmic complexity and spectral complexity at the same time. If the section still feels crowded, mute something before you start reaching for more EQ. Let's start by choosing a strong source loop. You want something that already has the identity of the track in it. A break-driven drum loop, a sub or reese bass line, maybe a stab, vocal tag, or atmospheric texture. In Future Jungle, that might mean chopped amen-style drums, a ragga vocal chop, a dub siren, or a gritty reese with movement in the mids. Drop your material into arrangement view. Set your tempo around 170 BPM. If you want that classic future, jungle energy, and consolidate the important regions so you can work fast. Color code your tracks too. Drums, bass, atmospheres, effects, vocals. That sounds basic, but it makes the carve process way faster when you're making a lot of fast arrangement decisions. Now for the first move. Don't add anything yet. Subtract. This is the part people sometimes skip, because it feels more exciting to keep layering. But a carve is all about intelligent removal. Start muting or automating out the sub-bass below around 100 Hz. Pull out any extra drum layers that make the loop too dense. If you've got long pads or atmospheric tails that blur the transition, trim those. And if the top-end percussion is fighting the snare or kick, let it go. On the bass group, use EQ8 as a carve tool. You don't need to overdo it. If there's unnecessary rumble, high pass around 30 to 40 Hz. If the low mids are muddy, make a narrow cut somewhere around 180 to 350 Hz. And for the carve section, you can low pass the bass, so you're only hearing the upper movement, maybe somewhere between 400 Hz and 1.5 kHz depending on how exposed you want it to feel. On the drums, auto filter is your friend. Set it to low pass, and automate the cutoff so the full section opens up normally, then dips down into a narrower tunnel during the carve. You might start around 18 to 20 kHz. Then pull it down to somewhere around 4 to 8 kHz. Keep the resonance moderate. You want tension, not a whistle. Now let's shape the drums themselves, because a great jungle carve still needs motion. It shouldn't feel like the music has stopped. It should feel like the rhythm is still thinking. A really strong move is to create rhythmic negative space. Duplicate your drum loop across 4 bars, then split it up at key transient points and remove slices to create holes. Maybe you mute the kick on every second bar. Maybe you leave only the snare and top break. Maybe you remove the last 8th note of bar 4, or insert one beat of silence right before the return. That last move is huge. Silence before the return is one of the most effective DJ tools in drum and bass. It's simple, but it hits hard because your ear fills in the missing energy before the groove comes back. That tiny absence can feel bigger than another fill. You can also use clip envelopes for precise volume shaping if you want the edits to feel tight without clicking. And if you need to, apply short fades to the slices after cutting them. Keep it clean. For the drum pattern, a useful carve shape is this. Bar 1 is the full break, but filtered. Bar 2 removes the kick and leaves the snare and hats. Bar 3 brings the kick back, but keeps the top end reduced. Then bar 4 gives you a snare fill, maybe a reverse hit, and a moment of silence before the next phrase. That phrasing keeps the groove readable while making the transition feel intentional. Now, don't let the bass just vanish. That's too empty. Instead, let it ghost itself into the carve. This is where the filtered bass tease comes in. Duplicate your bass and make a carve version. Put a EQ8, auto filter, saturator, and utility on it. Use a low-pass or band-pass filter and automate the cutoff between roughly 200 Hz and 1.5 kHz. Add a little resonance, maybe 15 to 30%, just enough to make the movement speak. Then use saturator to add some harmonics, maybe a few dB of drive with soft clip-on. Keep the output trimmed so you're not accidentally making the tees louder than the full bass. Utility is useful here too. If you want to keep things focused, reduce the width a little. And if your sub is separate, keep it mono and muted during the carve. That way the listener still recognizes the bass identity, but the low end stays out of the way until the drop or return. You do not need the full bass line here. In fact, it's usually better if you don't use it. A short stab, a pitch-bent Reese fragment, a noisy mid-range pulse, or even a single vocalized bass hit can be enough. The idea is to hint, not explain. Now let's add the space and drama with return effects. Create a return track with reverb, echo, utility, and maybe the light touch of redux if you want some grime in the tail. On the reverb, keep the decay fairly long, maybe 2.5 to 5 seconds. Use a modest pre-delay so the transient stays clear. High pass the low end and cut some top end so the reverb doesn't turn into a wash. With echo, try synced repeats at a quarter note or 3/8, with moderate feedback and a filter to band limit the repeats. If you want width, ping pong works beautifully. The key is to automate send levels on selected hits. Don't drown the whole section in effects. Instead, throw the reverb or echo on the last snare of a phrase, or on a vocal chop, or on a reversed cymbal that leads into the next section. That gives you the feeling of the space opening and then collapsing back in. That push and pull is really the heart of the carve. Since this is meant to be a DJ tool, make sure the structure is phrase-friendly. Keep your sections in 8s and 16s. Make the intro and outro loopable. Avoid weird surprise fills that make beat matching harder. And leave room for the incoming track's kick and bass. In an actual mix, your carve should often be a little less busy than it sounds when soloed. A solid DJ-friendly layout might be 8 bars of intro groove, then 8 bars of carve and tension build, followed by the main drop section. If you're making an edit tool rather than a full track, consider making both an intro carve and an outro carve. That gives you more flexibility when you're actually DJing. Automation is where the carve really comes alive. Automate your EQ bands, filter cutoff, reverb send, echo feedback, utility gain, even pitch on vocal chops or drum fills if you want that tape-like movement. You can also automate a reverb freeze for a big tension moment, then cut it right before the return. A great practical move is to start with a filter open, then slowly dip it over 4 bars, and then snap it open at the return. Or keep full bass on bar 1, mute the sub on bar 2, leave only the upper bass on bar 3, and then bring the full weight back on bar 4. Another classic move is the snare echo throw. Automate the send only on the final snare of the phrase and let that tail wash into the next section. These little micro-automations are what separate a loop from a proper carve. Now add one signature jungle texture. Just one. A ragga vocal chop, a dub siren, a reverse piano hit, a chopped amen slice, a tape stop stab, a rewound break fill. Pick one identity piece and let it speak briefly. Put it at the end of bar 4 or bar 8. Or right before the return. Keep it short. The carve should hint at the world of the track, not fully reveal it. If you want to get even more advanced, process the whole carve as a bus. Group the drums and route them through drum bus, glue compressor, EQ8, and a limiter. Keep the drum bus subtle. A little drive, maybe a touch of crunch, maybe some dampening if the top end gets harsh. On the glue compressor, go for gentle compression, just 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. The limiter is only there to catch peaks, not flatten the groove. You want the section controlled, but still breathing. A few common mistakes to avoid here. First, too much sub. If the low end stays constant, the carve stops feeling like a transition. Remove it or seriously reduce it before the return. Second, over-filtering the drums. If you kill too much top end, the break loses its identity. Leave enough crack and transient detail so the rhythm still hits. Third, too many effects. Reverb, echo, reverse, stutters, fills, all at once will smear the whole thing. Pick one or two tension devices and commit. Fourth, bad phrasing. If your carve lands on awkward 6-bar or 10-bar shapes, it will feel wrong in a DJ mix. Stay in 8s and 16s. And fifth, weak contrast on the return. If the re-entry isn't clearly bigger than the carve, the whole move falls flat. The impact has to be obvious. A few pro moves can make this even heavier. In darker drum and bass, it's often the upper mids that make the return feel nasty. So carve out some 500Hz to 3KHz clutter, then let the mids hit hard when the groove comes back. Keep the drop bass mono and focused. Use utility to lock the sub down. Add aggression with saturator or overdrive on a parallel layer. And don't underestimate a single empty beat before the drop. In this style, restraint often hits harder than another fill. You can also resample once you find the vibe. That's a huge workflow upgrade. Print the carve to audio, then treat it like a performance object instead of a loop that's still changing under you. Once it's bounced, you can chop it again, degrade it a little, or use the rendered version as a fixed DJ tool in a set. Here's a simple practice exercise to lock this in. Take one 8-bar drum and bass loop and turn it into a 16-bar carve. For bars 1 to 4, use drums only, no sub bass, and keep a low pass on any pad or atmospheric loop. For bars 5 to 8, add top bass harmonics only, introduce one vocal chop, and automate a short echo throw on the last snare. For bars 9 to 12, reduce the drums further, remove the kick on bar 11, and bring in a reversed cymbal that leads into bar 13. For bars 13 to 16, open the filter, restore the full bass, bring in one fill or reset, and end with a clean mixable tail.